Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sword Drills, the show where we take a deep dive into the fundamental pillars of faith and venture into the fringes of theological thought. I'm your host, Caleb Schreiber.
And I'm your host, Zach Kurian.
Today, we're talking about a huge topic and a question that all of us have asked at some point in time, and that is, should I go to church? Zach, do you go to church?
I do go to church.
How often do you go to church?
Pretty much every Sunday.
Every Sunday? And we talked about that in an episode pretty recently, talking about Shabbat and should we celebrate Sabbath practices and the differences between what the Sabbath is and what the Lord's Day is. And if you want to hear that conversation more in depth, it kind of leads into this. Go check out our previous episode. You can find us on Spotify, pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can check us out there and you can see the full episodes on Patreon. We would love to have you over there. We're trying to create and curate an amazing community of people who love talking about the Bible. Pretty much if you're a Bible nerd, we want you to be over there. We'd love to talk to you. So. Right before we get into the discussion, we need scripture. In order to get scripture, we need to do a sword drill, because that's the only way that we're going to look up scripture, at least for the first time, okay? So our passage that we're going to be going to is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25.
Weird with the mic here.
I know. It's going to be weird. Maybe I can, next episode, I can change over your microphone. Okay. 3, 2, 1, charge. Hebrews, that's Revelations, it's nowhere close.
Therefore, brother,
go ahead.
One of these days you'll get it. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through a curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Amazing. Now, as we've opened up with that portion of scripture, we're going to move into a section where we are going to have a debate. If you are new, if this is your first time watching this, during relevant episodes where arguments could come into play, one of us flips a coin, and whoever calls out the proper side of the coin gets to determine who is arguing for what side of the debate. Should I not go to church or should I go to church would be today's debate topic. Zach, are you ready?
Yes. Heads.
It is tails. I'll have you take against.
Against?
Okay. Are you okay with that?
Who's going first?
You go first. In the past, we've only done one round of 60 seconds. This time, we're going to do two round of 60 seconds because we felt like we wanted to say more and make it more interesting. So, Zach, your timer starts now.
In Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. This is a private thing. It's a private relationship. And I get more out of studying my scripture than I do listening to a sermon. I've always learned more studying by myself. It really seems completely unnecessary. Organized religion is the problem, not God. So it's okay to follow God, but like going to church is just, you're going into this liturgy. And in Galatians, we see that we are no longer under the law, we're free. And to be under a liturgy is to be, you know, oppressed, to be stuck. Like you have to follow what they're doing when God is free. And God is open. And church can just be hurtful sometimes. Like, people suck. And, like, the church has hurt so many people. I've seen so many people get hurt by the church. And it makes so much more sense to just be free and have a relationship with God on your own.
You did good. And that's time. That's time. And the argument four starts in 3, 2, 1. That's a really good, that is a lot to unpack. There's a lot of people who have been hurt by the church and do find more out of their own personal time in scripture. However, that's a very individualistic way to look at things. And the Bible really speaks from a perspective of a conglomerate of God pushes us out of our desire to be isolated, which is actually isolation is even something that the enemy tries to get us to do. And he tries to get us to come into community. Yes, there is hurt and things go wrong inside of the church. However, we are meant to be a pillar and we're called to something different. And that hopefully that community can hold each other accountable. Like without you being there, seeing the hurt that has happened and experiencing the things that have happened, we should go to church so that we can be a voice within this church saying, this is wrong. Like this needs to be changed because otherwise as a body, we'll never grow. The church won't be as strong as it needs to be. All right. 60 seconds for the rebuttal on time on the clock starts now.
Look, man, I've seen in the scripture where it's talking about, the Acts, they have like their little churches and that was great for building the church, for building, like the church is not a building. It's not like a place where people gather. It's the people and I am the church. So why do I need to go to a place if I am the church and it's already been built? Mm-hmm. Like it was established. The scripture is done. Like everything that we needed, we have. Which you would agree with, mm-hmm. But we don't need to be together for that. Like, I don't get anything out of being at church sometimes, honestly. And, maybe every now and again for like Easter or Christmas, that's fine. But like, I'd honestly be so much better and I don't have time either. Mm-hmm. And does God want me to, not be successful, not make sure I have time to take care of my family and do other things that I need to do? Mm-hmm. And this is so hard to
You're
make
doing
a,
really good, though.
An argument for this.
You're doing really good.
How am I doing on time? I think I'm done.
I think that's it. Yep, that's 60 seconds. All right. On the rebuttal. Dude, I'm going to start again.
No. You're in it.
Shoot! because I'm just still trying to remember what you first said, because I already addressed him. As I already stated,
running out of time, buddy.
I know. I'm going to cut this out.
No, this is staying in. This is all staying in. I want you guys to watch him squirm.
I'm just so bad at debating. I hate debating.
This was your idea.
Yeah, I know. If you are a part of a church where you're not getting something out of that community, then I would ask, what are you trying to get out of it? If you're trying to get out a deeper relationship with Christ, that is not sought entire. Like you shouldn't put the weight of your entire relationship with Christ on the church, like on other people. They should help push you towards them, but you shouldn't rely on them exclusively in order to push your relationship with Christ. That should be done on your own, in your own time with Christ. The church should encourage you and help you to flourish and equip you for ministry. If your church is not doing that, try to find another church. How did you feel that you did?
I think I regurgitated a lot of the talking points from that side, mm-hmm. but just so we're all on the same page, I'm entirely against everything I just said.
Yeah.
I mean, not everything I just said. I used some reality.
I felt some of the reality too.
To use for my points, but mm-hmm. my conclusions were completely off, and we'll get into that in a second.
Absolutely.
What about you?
No, I think you did super, super good because there are some points that you brought up that like I think we've all have experienced. Like I have experienced that. I have grown up in my own, like I grew up in my own church, and so a lot of what you were saying was resonating with me because I have felt that at one period or another is like, hey, my church is not, like, I'm not getting anything out of this. Why am I not getting anything out of this? And so I had to deal with that question over the years. I was struggling because I was just trying to remember what you said because I have a very fleeting memory. I vomited it all in the first half, and in the second half I was like, I don't want to like re-say what I already just said, but
well, if you might have noticed, that's what I did.
Oh, okay.
I just re-said the same things and ignored everything you said.
Yeah, that's okay. I think I was all right. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. There's a lot being said here, and I don't know that this would be a typical passage used for whenever people are talking about if you should go to church or not, but I think it perfectly in context like talks about why. The first thing that drew me to this was, I think, a passage of scripture that we've all heard before, and that it that says, do not abandon your own meeting together, as it is habit of some people, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I've heard that verse said multiple times whenever people are saying, do not, you might have heard this, like, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot more context to this, even just in the couple verses before that portion of scripture, about why we should not forsake the gathering of ourselves. Zach, what did you get out of, like, say, like, verse 19 through 21, like, in that area, like, what did you get out of that?
19 through 21.
Mm-hmm. I can read it again. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence entering the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith.
Yeah, that's 19 through 22, by the way, if you're following along.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ acts as the final and perfect sacrifice. And so he did away with the old covenant, and a covenant that demands only one high priest could enter the holy places, which is, you know, there's a veil and you have to enter it. And if anybody enters it and they're wrong,
yep,
you die.
Yes.
It is a straight up, you die. Mm-hmm. You just die.
If you didn't perform the right sacrifices, if you came with an impure heart, yeah.
Exactly.
You would die.
In fact, even the high priest, they would tie it like a rope around his ankle. Mm-hmm. So if he died and he went in, they could pull him out because they weren't allowed to go in to retrieve the body.
Yeah. Because they would also die.
Now, though, we have confidence to enter the holy places. We don't have to fear death because Jesus Christ opened the veil for us, which is his flesh. And we have such a great high priest that we don't have to be afraid, and we can draw near to him. Mm-hmm. And he makes a way, a stable way that we can trust. So finally, we can draw near to God without reservation.
Yeah. And it's really cool about the veil because, like, whenever Jesus was crucified, a miraculous thing happened that as he was dying, the veil, which was, I can't remember how thick it was, but it was a thick curtain that was actually in the temple, like, tore from the top to mm-hmm. the bottom as Jesus was dying. And I think God did that there's a lot of things that happened. There was also dead people who were raised from out of their grave, which was absolutely nuts. And maybe we'll talk about that at some other point, but
zombies in the Bible.
Yeah. The zombies. That's crazy. So the curtain tore from top to bottom, and that was symbolic of, at the time, as Jesus was dying, he was opening up the way so that we could get access to the presence of God, which is what the act of Jesus dying did. It allowed us to, like, we now have the ability to enter into the presence of God because of Jesus's flesh that veils us. Like, we wear, I mean, it sounds gross, but we wear Jesus's righteousness as we enter into the presence of God, which allows us to not die. But that veil tearing showed that at the temple, it's no longer where that needs to happen. And you could use this case and this argument to not have to go to church, because a lot of people see that the temple as the church as a representation of the temple. Mm. Zach, why is that not the case?
Well, the temple is the house of God. It's God's dwelling place, right? Yes. Am I correct in that?
Yes, yes.
And in 1 Timothy, it also says that the church is the house of the living God.
Yes.
So in a sense, the temple, the church is like the house of God. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the church isn't the building, it's the people.
That's right.
But it's not just one person. Mm-mm. It's all the people. Mm-hmm. Like, all of us make up the church,
yes,
the house of the living God.
Yes, the conglomerate. Not just the Fellowship Baptist Church on the corner of your street.
Yeah.
It's all of the churches collectively who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and are a light into their community. Like, that's the church.
Yeah, exactly. People, anybody who is truly saved by Jesus Christ makes up a portion of the church. Mm-hmm. But they themselves are not the whole church. So that's something I said in my debate. I said, I am the church. Yeah. I am not the church. I am a part of the church.
Which is true. And we'll get it. Yeah. I just want to jump like right into that, but I think there's a couple of things that we can talk about here. So one of the things you brought up, very, very important, old made new. So we're operating under a new thing, which is why I was bringing up the temple, because the temple was the old way that we entered into the holies of mm-hmm. holies. But the new thing now is we have immediate access to the Father.
Yeah.
That we can go immediately towards the throne of grace, and that we can do that with all of the people. Like it's kind of weird because the old system, there was one priest who went before the presence of God on behalf of the people. And now we get to, on behalf of all of us, go together. And that's amazing. Like the room is made so much bigger. It doesn't have to be just one person. Well, that one person is Jesus. It actually says here. Let us approach in sincere fullness. I'm trying to see where he says that he is the new priest.
And since we have a great high priest over the house of God.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So Jesus is the high priest who comes before the Father and says, please hear out their petition. And then,
which we see, you know, mm-hmm. earlier on in Hebrews, this is all like one letter or one book, whatever you want to call it. And so we see very specifically that Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. He is the high priest.
Yes.
There is no other high priest. It's him.
Yes. Context, people. Context is so important. So that's amazing. Another thing I want to touch on is his faithfulness. It says in verse 23, let us hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Jesus is faithful. God is faithful to his people. And I think there's an argument to be made that if the character of God is faithfulness, then we ought to also be faithful to him. I think that's why he's setting this up. He's saying, like, God is faithful. And the reason why God is faithful, like, and because God is faithful, we should also be faithful in not abandoning each other by gathering. Like, be sure to gather. Because I think it's in our flesh to not want to gather.
Yeah.
And a lot of arguments have been made over the years, as we talked about in the Sabbath episode. But, people have argued when to gather for church. You meet on Sundays?
I do.
I meet on Sundays. There's a church actually by your workplace. It's called like the Family Church. They mm-hmm. meet on Saturdays. They're not Seventh-day Adventists. They just meet on Saturdays for practicality. And it feels weird to think about that. I'm like, wow, you meet on Saturdays? Why do you meet on Saturdays? But honestly, I think it's just because Peach Street, where it's located, is very busy on Sundays.
Yes, it is.
So they're just like, let's just not meet at a very busy place on Sundays. Let's meet on Saturdays, where it's, I mean, arguably just as busy, but I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason. But I think our inclination is like, well, why do we have to meet on Sundays? Okay, let's talk about that first.
Well, like we discussed in the last episode, we don't have to meet on Sundays.
Right.
We have a good case that Sunday is the Lord's Day, mm-hmm. following the tradition that Jesus Christ rose again on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And so it's hugely significant to our faith, because if he didn't rise again, we wouldn't be Christians.
Yes.
If he just died, then he would just have been a guy who was peddling some nonsense. Mm-hmm. But he said, I am the Son of God. Then he died, mm-hmm. and people were like, oh, okay, well, that sucks for you. Then he came back to life.
Yes,
so
on
a Sunday.
So I think
maybe we should trust what he was saying. And so this is like the whole basis of our faith. So I'm pretty sure that the Sunday is just to honor that.
It is.
And it's not necessary. It's not required. Like we see in Acts, they kind of met whenever they could.
Yes.
They met daily.
Yeah.
But they also had some significance on the Lord's Day because, you know, Paul said, hey, meet together on Sunday and pool all your resources for your offering. Mm-hmm. So we know that they were meeting on Sundays, but I don't think it's a requirement.
I agree. But I think the entire reason why we even have this system in place to begin with is because we're bad at meeting together.
Yeah.
Like in the early church, it was very easy for them to be passionate about meeting because it was very fresh to them. But 2,000 years have passed, and there's some days where we just don't feel like going to church.
Yeah.
But we need to, because it's healthy for us. And so having a system in place, we're saying, like, we are all choosing to meet on this day. Like, you don't have to meet on Sunday. But if you are letting yourself actually be disciplined, then you should make it a habit to go on Sunday. because that's just, that's when your congregation meets. If there's another, if you want to meet another day, like, and make sure that you're disciplined on another day, because that works for you, find another body of believers who does that. It's kind of that simple.
Yeah.
But like, people aren't insistent. People are not insistent that you go to church on Sunday because it's just Sunday. People are insistent that you go to church because otherwise you won't. Because it's because we are very tempted to, even throughout the week. I don't know if you've noticed this, but that very special time with the Lord, how often are you tempted to walk away from that time with the Lord or spend it elsewhere?
Every single time.
Every single time. And so we equally have that temptation to not meet as believers because, I mean, we're stronger to get, like, as believers. Whenever we gather, we are able to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And the enemy doesn't want us to do that. And he's going to tempt you to not go on Sunday. Have there been times where you have been tempted to not go on Sunday?
I have not gone on Sunday many times. Yeah.
Talk about that.
Sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's absolute exhaustion. Sometimes it's frustration with the church or with my family who, you know, urges me to go to church. Obviously, there was a long time there where I wasn't even, I don't even know if I could say I was a Christian. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like agnostic at that time. And I still went pretty much every week, but if I could make an excuse not to go, I would. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing for me. And when I came back, finally, I was kind of in that same mindset of this is a me thing. And I had those same arguments like, hey, this is my relationship with God. So church is great and all, but I'm not going to go. And my church, especially, which we've talked about this on the podcast before, but my church doesn't agree with a lot of the things that I hold true. Mm-hmm. In, you know, secondary type of doctrine, the stuff that other than like salvation itself, other than Jesus Christ is God, but like stuff like the gifts or stuff like, you know, being more charismatic, being mm-hmm. more free, like I was saying in my arguments, they don't really do that. We're mm-hmm. we're pretty toned down at my church. And so for a while, I was really frustrated with my church and I was trying to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And so some days I would go to your church. Some days I would go to like Erie First Assembly, which is the bigger church mm-hmm. in Erie. Sometimes I wouldn't go at all.
Yeah. What did you find whenever you made that, like, what did you get out of that discipline whenever you made the decision to actually go to church? Did it benefit you in any way to your soul? Like what happened there?
The thing that changed the most when I decided, hey, this isn't necessarily about what I'm getting, mm-hmm. but what I'm giving. Mm-hmm. When I started going there to give, when I started going there to be obedient and be disciplined, I first of all started realizing that the people at that church were not so different from me than I thought. Mm-hmm. I started realizing that I wasn't the one Christian who had all the answers and everyone else was just nincompoops. Mm-hmm. Like they were all faithful people who have been living their whole lives going after God.
Yeah.
Much longer. For me, this was like, I'm a year in mm-hmm. from truly following God. I'm a year in. And these are people who are like in their 60s or 70s. We have people who've gone to China, smuggled Bible across the borders, you know, been arrested. We have all sorts of people at this church. And sometimes it does feel a little dead, honestly. And then I realized that maybe it was just because I had this idea of what life is, and mm-hmm. it's not necessarily that.
Yeah. That's difficult to process through because I think the culture of the church, at least in America, in our context, the American church has become very consumeristic in the fact that you go to church on Sunday to hear good preaching
yeah.
and good music. And sometimes you'll hear people say, like, I really like the community there. There actually used to be a trope for a long time, like, they have good potluck. Like legitimately people would say that. They'd be like, they really do food well. And like, I'm like, that's crazy that those are the three.
Yeah.
Because that's not even what we're being called to here. If we look at it, it says, let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our people, but encouraging one another. And, all the more as you see the day drawing near. What do you see in this that we should be practicing inside of the church? Like, what should be part of our gathering?
Like I was saying, it's not about what I can get necessarily. It's about me giving.
Yeah.
Here it's saying that he is faithful, mm-hmm. right? Where is it exactly? He who promised is faithful. What did he promise? He promised he's going to come back and he's going to make us perfect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So we know that this is coming. And now we have this opportunity to lift each other up. We can stir one another up to love and good works. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? By being loving and yeah. doing good works, right? And how are we going to do that if we're not meeting? Yes. How can I stir you up if I never meet you?
Exactly.
Right?
Right. This past Sunday, I had the opportunity to preach. If we're just meeting, I'm a pastor in my local church. I'm an associate pastor. So I was preaching this Sunday on the armor of God, and something clicked for me. I had one of my congregation members, and I've been told this many times, but it just clicked for me. Somebody came up to me after the service and they said, your sermon really encouraged me. Mm-hmm. And it finally clicked of like, even what you just said, I was serving. Like I took a lot of time in preparation and prayer over that sermon. And whenever I did, whenever I presented that sermon, it encouraged somebody. And if I am doing that, and that encouraged me, her saying like that encouraged me, that really like it, it's exactly what I needed. That helped me because I was like, I was able to see God move through something that I was able to be a part of. And that's what should happen in every single congregation member. Not saying I do that perfectly, but like that just gave me a taste of what it is like to be in church is we are to serve one another.
Yeah.
And if you do those deeds, it will encourage the people around you. It'll draw them closer to Christ. And in turn, it'll draw you closer mm-hmm. to Christ.
And you mentioned something in your argument. You ended the argument with, if your church isn't building you up, lifting you up, then find another church. Mm. And I would suggest that before you do that, that you actually try and build them up
yes.
and encourage them. Because I had a similar thing on Sunday myself. The person who spoke the sermon this Sunday was someone who's been at our church for a very long time. He's in his 30s. He's not that old, but he was saved by people. Or I think he was brought to salvation by people in the church, and then he stayed with us this whole time. He's never spoken. Mm. And he went up to speak, and he said, you can blame Zach for me being up here because I spoke a few weeks ago for the first time.
Yeah.
Not the first time, but the first time like back as a Christian, I spoke a few weeks ago.
You did an amazing job with it, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And apparently that like was the kick in the butt that he needed to actually do it because he's been asked for years
yeah.
to do it. And he always said, no, I'm not ready. And he didn't, he did a great job. Mm-hmm. Like he was, yeah, he had nothing to worry about, but if you're worried about your church being dead, maybe you have to be the life.
That's right.
Maybe it starts with you.
That's a bar.
Yeah. Because if we're just going to get mad, if we're just going to be frustrated that everyone else isn't doing their part and we're also not doing our part, then you're part of the problem.
Yes.
And you can't go complaining about a problem that you're, you know, propagating. Yeah. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
So... yeah, exactly.
I've seen that happen a lot. My context is I've been raised in this church and my grandfather is the pastor. So we were expected to be at church. It took me a long time to figure out everything that we're talking about. Like this whole conversation is an amalgamation of me processing through a lot of this. And one of those things that I've tried to teach my brothers is what we're talking about is like, if you see a gap in your church, you have been given the vision and the gifting to change something about that. Mm-hmm. Like we are the body. And I don't know if you know this about the body. I know you know this, but if you don't know this about the body, each individual part of your body is put there in place for a very specific reason. And like even the most minuscule of things, such as blood cells, try to help whenever a certain part of the body is weak. Like say if your your stomach is like crampy or whatever. Your body will provide the proper like acids, I think, and like stuff that it needs to that part of the body so that it can be restored if it's weak. And so if your church is weak, God has, if you already are saying, hey, this is a weakness in the church, God has given you that as a vision of saying, this is how things are, and this is how things could be. That's what vision is.
And this is how things ought to be.
Even. This is how things ought to be. Yes. Right. And that's vision. And God has given you the gifts in order to be able to do that.
Yeah. And in Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 13, it says, we are each given a gift according to his grace. Mm-hmm. And then further on, it says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building the body of Christ.
Yes.
We are each given a gift. Mm-hmm. So it's not the pastor has a gift. And no, you maybe the pastor's wife has a gift, and the Sunday school ministry lady, she has a gift, and whoever's in the kitchen, they have a gift. But me, I'm just an attendee.
Yes.
No, you don't attend church. Like, people attend church. Mm-hmm. Stop attending church.
Praise God.
Go be a part of church.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have a gift too, and you're told by scripture, by God, to go use it in the church. Mm-hmm. Enough said.
Very good. Yeah, yeah. All right, that's the episode.
Can I drop this?
No, absolutely. Like, there's, that's so true. A lot of the times your pastor, the pastor of a church, like, some people won't even go to church because of a certain pastor. Listen, if you are going to church because of the pastor that's there, or if you're not going to a church because of a pastor that's there, like...
Or the worship team.
Or the worship team, or, like, the way that the music sounds, or the
really
vibe.
You really want to see Brandon Lake.
Yeah, dude, if you walk into a church and you say, like, this is just not my vibe, I want something more contemporary, like, dude... Stop it. like the building, the aesthetics, the preacher, the worship music, like, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point is all us building up one another in our context.
That's not the point. And that's why I actually have grown to love my church. Mm-hmm. Because for all it gets wrong, the one thing it gets right is that it does not care about who the pastor is. Mm-hmm. It does not care about the music. We sing terribly at my church. We don't have any... Our instrumentation is like they found an old CD on Apple Music and downloaded it on an iPad of like really badly recorded piano.
You guys just do instrumentals? You play just instrumentals?
And then we sing over it.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. You don't have a worship band. You just play CDs.
No, we don't have any worship band. We have people in the church that could form a worship band, but we're all so busy with other things that we just can't set aside the time for it. Which I don't know, maybe that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should, but we're not worried about a band. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not worried about what our church looks like. It has some of the ugliest decor I've ever seen, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Our church has thousands of dollars of
eagle
flowers,
paintings,
eagle paintings, and flowers that were bought at Hobby Lobby and just crammed into a vase, and like they look like they did their best.
Yeah,
and that's the point. They did their best. It's about that they had a passion for a thing, and they said, "I want to do something," and they did it.
They did their best at my church too. They just did it in like 1995.
Exactly. Yeah. And
never did anything else.
Yes. And you can tell the people who really are, you can tell whenever a church starts changing that it starts with somebody, and it's not going to start. It's not going to start by you waiting for somebody else to encourage you or to build you up. You need to start encouraging one another. The way that discipleship, I've been trying to process through this. Discipleship is not whenever you choose. Whenever like somebody chooses you to disciple, they don't you're not waiting there to have somebody come over to disciple you. You have to engage and just be like, hey, can I disciple you? Or you go to somebody and be like, hey, can you disciple me? Because otherwise it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. People don't know that you want them to disciple you or that you want to disciple them. Like, you need to initiate that. And I don't know. It's just a weird expectation like inside of the church to just like, I'll wait until somebody else does something.
Yeah.
And nobody else does it. So be the first.
And so if you're having this idea of, hey, I'm not getting anything out of church, I should just leave. Mm-hmm. First of all, you could be completely blind to the stuff that is being there that's good. Mm-hmm. Right? Second of all, sorry, you're selfish. Mm-hmm. In Proverbs 18:1, it says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion.
Dang. True.
And so when we isolate ourselves from church because we don't like what they're teaching, mm-hmm. or, you know, we're not getting enough and we think we could do better, you're selfish, you break out against all sound judgment, and you're a fool.
Dang.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say those things, but it's real. It's true. Yeah. And hey, you don't have to be those things.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling attacked right now, don't feel attacked. Just change.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
And what it continues saying, if we were to continue on from verse 25, it says, so I'll go from 25 into 26. As it is habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire, which will consume the adversaries. Okay. A couple things here. First in verse 25, it is looking at you not going to church as a bad thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's get this set. Like we have talked, like we don't have to meet on Sundays. However, if your congregation does meet on Sundays, this portion of scripture is saying there are some people who do not meet and they do not go to church, and that is negative. Mm-hmm. That's negative. So if that's just something to keep in mind, is that it's positive if you are going to church, and he's saying do not forsake that. Okay. Secondly, one of the reasons why we go to meet together and encourage one another is so that we do not sin. In verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, we go to church sometimes to hear the knowledge of truth. I mean, that's why people preach. That's why people teach. That's why people give messages. That's why people, that's why we have life groups, you know, or that's why we have groups or Bible studies or whatever you call them in your context, is to share truth so that we do not sin. And this, and I've heard this many times, I think that's sometimes why people don't go to church, is because they know they sin and they go to church and they're like, hey, don't sin. And they're like, they're judging me.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of going to church, is to help you so that you can walk away from sin. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you know, first of all, sin keeps you away from God.
Yeah.
And second, you need help from other people to get away from sin. I can't get away from sin by myself. I need the Spirit and I need people around me. And all of us need that. But some people choose not to go to church because they're telling them to not sin.
Yeah. And I've seen it happen before. And it breaks my heart because I've seen people that I love, you know, getting into this idea that, hey, the church is oppressing me, it's hurting me, and I need to isolate myself. I need to get away from these people who are judging my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they're so blind to themselves, mm-hmm. in that moment. And I know this because I've been in that moment. I've been there. I've done that, where I'm thinking, hey, all these people are going to judge me, so I'm just going to stay away, mm-hmm. because it hurts. It's uncomfortable to be there. Yes. I don't want to be there. I don't need to do this to myself. I need to take care of myself. And I am being selfish, and I'm being blind. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, hey, I'm strong enough to deal with these problems as they come, so I don't need your help. And then, you know, I look back and I'm like, wait, how did I get this far? Mm-hmm.
That's right. Right?
Because there's no one in my way to keep me in check because I cut them all off. And I hate seeing this. I see this in people I love. I see this in people I don't know, and I still hate it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's heartbreaking.
We as congregation members lean toward self-preservation as opposed to self-sacrifice.
We as humans.
Yes. We as humans do. Yeah, that's true. But when we go to church, a lot of the times we put up a guard.
Yeah.
And we put up these boundaries where we're saying, I want to preserve myself. I want to come into this church. I want to enjoy myself. I do not want to be moved. I do not want to be pushed. I don't want to be challenged. I just want to experience the presence of God in the most comfortable way possible. And I'm sorry, but like, that's not what the church is for. You come into church, and I would hope that you would experience a time where you are challenged and maybe a little bit uncomfortable. And the whole point of us, Jesus laid his life down for his church out of self-sacrifice. And he's calling us as the bride of Christ to do the same thing, that we are to lay ourselves down at the altar for the sake of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to church and not sacrificing yourself, your time, your efforts, your comfortability, your just anything, like if you are not sacrificing anything in church, then we're doing church wrong. I'm guilty of that a lot of the times too. Sometimes I get so tired of constantly feeling like I'm the only one giving to the church whenever I realize that like I'm not giving sacrificially for just for the sake of the people. I'm giving for the sake of Christ as well.
Mm-hmm. There's this song by a band called Anne Berlin, and I'm pretty sure they're a Christian band, but they have this lyric that says, "Everyone wants to see heaven, but no one wants to die."
Whoa.
And
wow.
That's kind of what you're saying. Like mm-hmm. we're going into church because we want to experience all the heaven, the nice, the good stuff, but yes. we're not willing to die to ourselves.
Right.
We're not willing to give up anything for it. And if we keep reading in Hebrews, I'm pretty sure it's in Hebrews. Mm-hmm. In Hebrews 12, verse 4, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Mm-hmm. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons." Mm. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Like, we're not willing to fight ourselves to the point of shedding blood. We're not willing to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations to put people over us mm-hmm. that will tell it to us straight. One of the best decisions I ever made in my life was putting myself under the authority of a mentor mm-hmm. that didn't sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. He just told me straight up, "Hey, you're living in sin. You're going to ruin your life."
Yeah.
And he would tell me stuff like that. Yeah. And, he became really close. Like I didn't expect that to happen because he did it. He did it first time without me asking him to. Mm. He kind of just did it. And by the grace of God, I was able to put away my pride for a second and be like, "Man, he's kind of spitting right now." Mm-hmm. Like that's, if I don't die to myself, I'm not going to see heaven. Mm. Right.
We need more people like that in church. What I want to talk about now is, we've laid out pretty thoroughly the importance of what church is, why we should gather, what we should do. So I want to talk about now, maybe, how do we get ourselves back to church? Like say the viewer struggles getting to church or hasn't been to church in a long time because of some reason. How can you get back to church for these good reasons? Like just how?
Well, if you own a car, mm-hmm. if you have legs and you can walk, mm-hmm. if you have money for bus fare, if you don't have money, call someone. Mm-hmm. Look, let's be real for a second. There are probably people in your life, if you're living in the West, mm-hmm. that know you, that love you, and have asked you to go to church with them.
Yep. Hopefully.
Call them up.
Yeah.
Put your pride away for a second. You might think, "Oh, they're going to win." Mm-hmm. If I call them right now, they're going to win. Think about what you just thought for a second. Mm-hmm. Okay. Process it. You know how dumb that sounds, right?
Yes.
Like if those people are telling you about who isolated themselves, if they were to call me right now and say, "Hey, I want to go to church." Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be thinking, "Oh man, I finally got him." Haha. I'd be thinking, "Oh God, thank you so much."
Yeah.
Because I've been praying for this.
Yeah. I think the first step with a lot of this, and like what you're saying is even maybe a little bit before this is repentance. Okay. The first step in order to get to a church is changing your mind on what church is. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of you who don't go to church and like, listen, hear us. We're not calling you stupid for not going to church. I understand. Zach understands why you don't go to church. Because we both did it. There's times, literally, I called my grandpa because I was too scared. I called my grandpa and said, "Hey, I'm not going to be in church today." And I did drive to like another church, but like I
wouldn't even call. I just wouldn't show up.
Yeah. I feared the repercussions of what would happen if I didn't call. But it takes a change of mind and a change of heart of like, "God, I see in your scripture that this is good for me. and I see the right way that you were laying before us, that you gave as an example through your son. And he paid a heavy price so that we could go to church together. And God, can you change my mind so that I have a desire to encourage this body or to be a part of this body? Like, pray over that. Please pray that now. Mm-hmm. And let that process continue in you. And once that process does continue in you, exactly what Zach says, find somebody. Like, call somebody up. They would love to go to church with you. For going to church with somebody is so much fun.
Yeah.
Okay? Make a thing out of it. Like meet up at a coffee shop before wake up early, get dressed. Yeah, I hopefully put clothes on, but I was about to say, like, get dressed up, and then I was like, you don't have to.
Or
just,
don't.
Just put clothes on. Yeah, you don't have to get dressed up. Take small baby steps. Maybe we'll talk about that in some episodes. Church, like, clothes. Church clothes.
Let's get Lecrae on here.
Yeah. Let's go.
I know a guy that knows a guy.
We do. But make it a thing. One of my favorite things to do is to go out to breakfast first, or go to get coffee first, and then with that person go to church. It's so much fun. And then if you want to afterwards, usually they get done around noon, go out to lunch, talk about like what you liked about the service, what you didn't like about the service, what you think that you could help with, like start that conversation, and a person, bring a person along with you is the best way to start that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have any other advice?
Well, hey, you don't even need a person. Mm-hmm. Go there, find a person, mm-hmm. right? If you don't have a person and that's like, oh, well, I don't have someone to do that with. That's okay. Just find a local church, go, mm-hmm. right? Talk to people. If you don't talk to people, someone will probably talk to you.
Yes.
Pray for it, because, you know, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they wouldn't on their own, but if you pray for it and they're in the Spirit will guide them to go talk to you.
100%. Zach, some of our audience I know has experienced a lot of church hurt, and I think it'd be really unbeneficial if we didn't address church hurt whenever it comes to talking about going to church, because that's something that we will experience during that time. What has been your experience with church hurt?
I honestly don't have that much experience with church hurt. I think I have a lot of experience with perceived church hurt, but it's not even like hurt. It's more just like frustrations. But I know some people have been through some legitimately like harrowing experiences, like true abuse, true terrible people that just absolutely push you down.
And abuse the authority of God.
Abuse the authority. They just completely walk outside of the pattern. They are not at all stirring one another up to love
or encouraging
and good works. But that's a real thing, and we have to address it. And I like how Corey Jane, she's a TikToker who does poems, responds to this. She mentions Beethoven.
I love this.
This is a paraphrase. But if you go to an orchestra and they're playing Beethoven and it sucks, do you blame Beethoven or them? Mm-hmm. Does their misinterpretation of the notes on the page make Beethoven a bad musician? Mm. So does the misinterpretation of these Christians or so-called Christians of this incredible word of God, does that make God a bad writer?
No.
Does that make church bad? Mm-mm. Or are these people who are misrepresenting God, are they the villains here? Mm-mm. The answer isn't to simply not go to orchestras when you want to hear Beethoven, because the thing is, he wrote the piece for the orchestra. Mm-hmm. You can't listen to Beethoven properly without the ensemble.
That's true. Right? Wow, that's good. I like that better. I've heard that a similar thing, but like going to like a kid's recital, mm-hmm. which is what church feels like to me sometimes, is more like a church recital than an orchestra. It's like you go in there and you're like, I know this is not going to be good, but I'm going there because we want to hear what they've been working on and what, you know, what they've executed. But I really like that analogy and that association between Beethoven wrote this for the orchestra.
And you might not have the best experience with certain orchestras.
True.
Right? They may suck. They may completely butcher the work. But here's the thing. Without an orchestra, you get no music, period.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, and here's another, you know, common thing that people say, what if I don't have time? Mm-hmm. Make time. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
Like, priorities.
Yeah, none of us have time to go to church. You have to make the time.
Yeah.
You don't have time to sit on your phone. None of us have time to sit on our phone. There's too much to do. There's too many relationships that you could be pouring into. There's too much time that we're not spending in the Word of God. We're at work for long periods of time. You don't have time to be on your phone, but we choose to anyways.
You want to do something dangerous?
I would love to.
You want to check our screen time?
Sure.
I saw Elon Musk did this recently, but apparently he buys new phones every 5 days. So
why does he do that?
He had 1 minute of screen time.
I don't know how to find it, if I'm being honest with you. I don't think I've ever looked it up. Well, I have an Android, so.
I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
My daily average is 3 hours and 41 minutes of screen time.
Wow. 3 hours and 41 minutes.
That's longer than most church services.
Mm. Oh, 100%.
Not longer than mine, because mine is nuts, but it's longer than most. Yeah, I don't need those 3 hours or 41 minutes. There's probably like 10 minutes that are necessary on there where I'm actually like talking to people about important things. But the rest of that, that's YouTube Reels or YouTube Shorts. And
100%, me too.
Instagram. Not really TikTok as much, but it's all the same stuff.
Mine underneath here says digital well-being, and I just don't have it running, so I have no idea what my screen time is, but it's probably roughly the same, if not more. For me, a lot of times it's because I listen to so many podcasts, like my screen time is rough because oftentimes I'll like turn the screen on, let it sit like while I do other things. That's not too, I am on my phone a lot, but I've been trying to be on it less lately. I've been trying to read a lot more, but
I have a couple closing thoughts.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah,
you know what to do.
Yes.
First of all, if you're not convinced yet, let me just run through this really fast. Why should we go to church? Because Jesus assumed that we would in Revelations 1:10 through 11, cool. 2:1, 12, 18, chapter 3, verse 1, 7, and 14. Jesus assumed that we would go to church. Mm-hmm. That's how he spoke about the future of the church. He spoke it as everyone coming together. The early church gathered. Why would we change this pattern? We see them gathering in Acts. We see them gathering in 1 Corinthians and Revelations. Mm-hmm. Here's a big one. God ordains leaders over the church. In Ephesians 4:11 through 12, in 1 Timothy 3, in Titus, in Acts, when Paul's talking to the elders, God actually has qualified people that he wants to lead people.
Yes.
He wants you to be under authority. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that if you're not with people.
Yeah. He wouldn't ordain authority if you were in charge of your own spiritual, like, well, you are in charge of your own spiritual growth. But like, if you're just supposed to sit at home, like, the church is, I've heard this said, the church is not an organization, it's an organism. So while we do have people who are in charge.
Gotta love her buzzwords.
Yeah. while church does function with people who are in charge, that there are things that do, there are people who do need to be in charge so that things run, because we are an organism and they need to function. Like, not all the time is that corrupt. I think that's one of the reasons that we've talked about already, is people are just like, well, the church is corrupt. Mm-hmm. It's like men sin. And we do get things wrong. And there are corrupt people who are in the church.
Yeah.
And we need to pray for them. We need to engage with them and show them what the Bible says. I mean, it says, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there's no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Like, we need to help them with their sin as well and keep those people in check. Not even that, but Paul gives repeated explanations of how to deal with people who abuse their power and abuse that corruption.
Yeah.
And we need to execute that. Sorry,
I got
track.
No, you're completely on track. And I have just one more thought, or two more thoughts. First of all, in John 15 and 13, it talks about us showing our love.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ says, they will know you by your love for one another. And how are we going to show people our love for one another if we're never around one another?
That's right.
Right? It's impossible. We can't love people that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So should you go to church?
Uh-huh. Go to church often. And yeah. I would even say, and this is, I say the church should meet even more than just Sunday.
Yeah.
I think we should meet more frequently than what we even do. My church, for example, we meet on Sunday morning for like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And then on Wednesday for an hour and a half, 2 hours. But I think we need to meet even more than that. Mm. And maybe you can be the change in that. Maybe you can be the change in your family of people who haven't gone to church because of church hurt or because they just haven't seen the necessity in it. You can be that change. Thank you for listening to this conversation. We appreciate you taking the time. It's a very difficult discussion, but we'd love to continue the conversation with you over on our Patreon page or even just in the comments of this video. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to this episode.
Exactly. And if you guys want to see these video episodes when they come out, subscribe to our Patreon for how much?
For $5 or $10 a month.
All right. Yeah. So it's really easy. You can just $5 a month and you can watch these when they come out, or you can wait the few weeks that it takes for it to come out on YouTube. And one more thing, if you're thinking, and this is going to sound ridiculous coming from a Bible podcast, but if you're thinking, hey, I watch plenty of sermons and stuff online and I listen to podcasts, that's not church. Even if they're having church where they are, you're not a part of it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know this is coming out of Zoom and the 2020 church meetings, but it never felt right to me. Like,
no.
Honestly, that might be part
of the reason
I deconstructed.
It was fun. Yeah. No, it was fun. I had a lot of fun whenever church was online because I had a part in like producing it and like putting the episodes like out online. But you're right. Like until we met again, I did not feel the camaraderie. I did not feel challenged. I was very fleshy. And I was like, very fleshy. That's weird.
Yes. Never say that again.
Thank you for watching Sword Drills. We'll catch you in the next episode.
See ya.